Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. On this July the 4th weekend, I hope you've had a wonderful celebration. This is a faith and values show that tries to intersect faith and values with what's going on in our culture locally and globally. And how can we not talk about the 4th of July and the meaning of freedom today? It's something that is all across our nation. Even though fireworks displays are probably minimal just because of the COVID-19 crisis, people are buying up fireworks and they're shooting them off just to celebrate the greatness of our land.
Poor animals.
Ed Billick, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy 4th of July weekend, David. So good to have you on this Sunday, July 5th. First question. How did we, the United States of America, become a Christian nation? Let's go back to our founders and the history. I mean, we're celebrating freedom, but where did the whole religious thing come from?
Yeah, I think we need to note from the very beginning that America is not a Christian nation per se, but those who founded our nation were profoundly committed Christians for the most part. So you see the Judeo-Christian ethic.
The early influence.
Right. Woven into our Declaration of Independence and woven into our Constitution. So it's undeniably there. And if you go to Washington, D.C., and you look at all the different monuments, which are under debate right now, but also the different verses from the Bible that are on buildings, the different In God We Trust places of statement of on monuments, we see that religion had a great impact upon our nation.
And then religion, the tolerance for other religions, whether it be Muslim or you name it, all kind of different beliefs, that's the melting pot.
Well,
yes?
Yeah, the freedom of religion was granted in our Bill of Rights. So even though the Judeo-Christian influence is obvious in our major documents and on monuments and on statements of different buildings throughout Washington, D.C. and other places, there is a guarantee that people can worship the way they want to worship, no matter what faith perspective they may have. And you can even argue that atheism is a kind of faith because you're saying there's no God, but that's how you live. And that's guaranteed as a right of belief for a person who chooses to do that. Again, it's an individual choice that allows people to worship the way they want to worship. And what's interesting is we talk a lot about the separation of church and state, but what's interesting is that phrase is never found anywhere in the Declaration of Independence nor the Constitution. It is a statement from Jefferson to Danbury Baptists in Connecticut who were trying to make the state of Connecticut into a Baptist state. And Jefferson said, no, there's a wall of separation that is keeping any state and particularly our nation from becoming one particular religious sect or one denomination. And that's from where that phrase comes. It was never meant to be taken in the enlargement like it has today of saying, no, religion never influences American life whatsoever. That's not the case whatsoever. Our forefathers guaranteed that religion would influence how we lived our lives. That was expected in every possible way. In fact, John Adams said that the Constitution was written for a religious people. From the very beginning, the Constitution was written for a religious people. And there were supposed to be less laws written in the Constitution because it was understood that we would be a religious people governed from within. And we would have as our highest desire individually to obey God. And if we desire to obey God and operate by His moral and religious principles, we wouldn't need a lot of laws in the land to guide us. So again, that's what Adams meant when he said the Constitution was written for a religious people. And we need to remind ourselves that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written in the middle of what's called the Second Great Awakening. It was happening throughout our East Coast in America. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit led by an evangelist by the name of George Whitefield. And with the Spirit being poured out in all of these colonies, the founding fathers saw that this awakening was occurring, and they said, we're going to be a place that has less laws because the people are going to be governed by God Himself who is living in their hearts. So that's a part of our historical narrative that I find absolutely interesting.
One thing I'd like to explore today with you is, and you've traveled the world a lot, you've experienced poor nations, many different cultures and all. What are the things? What are those freedoms? You know, after the break, what are those freedoms we have here in America America that we just take for granted. We don't appreciate like we should.
Well, Ed, you know, I've said a lot whenever I've gone and traveled to a foreign land and then come back that the first thing Marilyn and I do in arriving in America is we don't literally, but we figuratively kiss this soil. It's the most beautiful nation on the face of the earth. It's a flawed nation. We had a birth with a deformity called slavery, no question about that. To say that blacks were three-fifths human in order to get the Constitution ratified was absolutely horrific. It never should have happened. But yet, in spite of that, we're still the most incredible nation on the face of the earth. We have freedoms that are guaranteed that other nations just don't have. And the fact that capitalism is allowed to flourish here, it has been the greatest lifter of people out of poverty than any other thing in the world. It has lifted literally millions of people out of poverty. So we have a great nation. We need to celebrate it today here on July the 5th. Looking back at yesterday, July the 4th, happy Independence Week. Weekend, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Happy 4th of July weekend. Yesterday, we celebrated the 4th of July. It is a day remembering our independence. And it's not just so that we can do whatever we want to do, but it is a guarantee of certain immutable rights that we have as human beings created in the image of God. And one of those great gifts is the gift of freedom to worship, freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, where religion does not influence American life, but the freedom of religion, where we can choose to worship as we want to worship. Ed Billick, my friend and producer, has his mic open to talk about this. Ed, you know, having been in countries where there's religious persecution, where people of faith literally have to hide behind closed doors and worship in secrecy, in some places in the world, they have to choose to sing hymns at a very low level so that no neighbor will hear them worshiping because they could get turned into the police. We live in a country that guarantees we can gather together, for example, on a Saturday like the Adventists or on a Sunday like Christians, and worship. It is a guaranteed right. It is something that all of us have, and we just need to celebrate that. We should not take it for granted. Again, travel to a country where there is not freedom of religion, where people cannot worship, where if they are caught sharing the faith publicly, they're arrested and thrown into jail, and sometimes for 2, 3, 5 years just for sharing their faith with somebody else. It's unimaginable for us in America to think that, but it does exist in the world. We need to celebrate our freedom of religion.
And there's so many other things. There are our freedom of speech and our freedom to protest and have a point of view and our freedom to tolerate each other's point of views.
Well, we need to understand that the ability to not only worship is also guaranteed in our freedom of speech, that we can talk about speech and we can say whatever we want. Again, I would invite everyone to spend some time going to the Bill of Rights and trying to figure out what all of those rights are. When we know those rights, we can exist as individual Americans, knowing the beauty of freedom in every possible way. So, folks, I guess, you know, I'm thinking about a recent trip that Marilyn and I took to Nepal, where we went up into the mountains and saw some of the most dire poverty you can possibly imagine, where children are regularly seduced into sex slavery from travelers who go up into those villages promising that if the kids are given to them by the parents, they will be allowed to send money back to their very poor parents on a regular basis. And they just say the kids are going into the big city to work. What they're really doing is being seduced into sex trafficking. And when that happens, folks, these kids are in a lifestyle of horror in every possible way. And what's so horrible there is that if you try to go in as a Christian and share the faith and help free these children, you're oftentimes persecuted yourself because you cannot have faith and share it openly in that kind of country without being arrested. So we have the beauty again of the freedom of speech, The Freedom of Religion. Go, folks, and read again the Bill of Rights. They were guaranteed to us. It's a wonderful nation. It's flawed. It's got some real challenges, as we know right now, with the racial tensions. We've got to solve that problem. We've got to see everyone created equally in the image of God. But, dear friends, this is a great nation. Flawed as it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
You believe the good Lord takes us through these challenges so we can become better, we can become stronger?
I do believe that. I do believe that when you have the freedom of speech and you have the freedom of expression of protest. Now, I don't believe we have the freedom to destroy property. I don't think we have the freedom to destroy or hurt other human lives. But we do have the freedom guaranteed of protest. And when people can march in the street regarding some inequality that they see in our culture, it should then bring to bear that problem so that our politicians make laws that allow everyone to have equality in every possible way. So I believe that when we see something like the George Floyd murder that happened in Minneapolis, many of us watched that and went, oh no, that's awful. So it started a movement that makes us look more closely at how people are treated, especially by the police. And if there's police reform that comes out of this that allows people to be more fairly treated, that's a good thing. I remember in 1963 watching television with my dad. I was a young teen at that point. And Sheriff Jim Clark had met Martin Luther King on the bridge at Selma, Alabama. He unleashed the dogs, and the dogs started attacking the African-American protesters, and it was a hideous sight, captured all on film, shown every night on the nightly news. And I'll never forget that as I was watching Sheriff Clark release those dogs upon the marchers, my dad looked at me and said, Dr. King has won. That's all he said. Dr. King has won. And he made a great point. They caught it on film. They showed the protest working, and I think in the collective conscience of Americans all over the country, we said, that's wrong. That kind of inequality among blacks and browns must be stopped. And so there were laws that began to take place, 1964, the civil rights laws, and then thereafter that allowed more equality to exist in our nation. Do we still have some distance to run on that issue? Absolutely. But we saw that in the nation, because of the freedom to express a protest of how people were treated, it caused laws to be changed and more people to be treated equitably.
And how about the whole notion that since someone doesn't believe what you believe in, then they're evil, they're bad. We have to be able to understand where people are coming from. You may disagree with them, but still, they should be able to express their point of view.
Well, here on this 4th of July
weekend,
we
ought not to judge others.
We should celebrate our differences, don't you think, Ed? We should celebrate our differences. Don't judge anyone, because when you judge someone, that same judgment is going to come back on you 10 times. That's what Jesus meant in Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, lest ye be judged. He's saying there, the more you judge people, the more that kind of judgment is going to come back to you from God. It shows the condition of your human heart. So what we should have is a beautiful expression of different ideas coming together in the marketplace of ideas where we can share with one another, grow from one another, disagree with one another, hopefully disagreeably, but because of that yin and that yang, that push and that pull, we become better people, stronger, more intelligent because we're sharing our ideas.
Unified, less divided.
It's amazing to me how we refuse to listen to other people today, therefore we refuse to grow. I would say right now that one of my biggest concerns with our culture is the fact that many who are progressive liberals, in my days past, and you know I've been here in Charlotte for 40 years now, in days past, progressive liberals would invite conservatives like myself to the table, and we would exchange in the free marketplace of ideas our different views and hopefully make each other better. But I, as a conservative, was always welcome to the table to share my ideas and why I believed what I believed. I remember Al Gardner. Remember, he's the Charlotte Morning News personality here for years. We had a deep and abiding friendship. He was much more liberal than I was. I was much more conservative than he were. We had a great relationship. We had a great friendship. We respected each other's positions, and we would challenge each other.
And he would learn something from you, and you would learn something from him.
Exactly.
And that dialogue.
We made each other better and stronger because of it. But what's happening now, Ed, is in the progressive liberal movement with people who are under 40, and we saw this with the New York Times article about Tom Cotton some weeks ago, The younger progressive liberals don't want to invite conservatives to the table. They want to silence their voices. It's a cancel culture mindset now. If you don't agree with me, I don't want to hear from you. And not only are you not welcome to the table, I don't want to hear anything that you have to say about anything. So therefore, conservatives are being silenced and they're getting angrier and angrier. They're not allowed to express their opinions in the Bill of Rights guaranteed their freedom of speech, their free practice of religion. And because of that, you're going to get, I think, more division, more anger, more hatred, and this unification that we seek in our nation is just simply not going to happen. We've got to respect each other's ideas. Again, that's one of the beauties of the freedom of speech. That's one of the great glorious thoughts the founding fathers wanted us to have. We've got to come together, be able to share our ideas and open it up to anybody and everybody who wants to share anything. Now, do I find some people's ideas offensive regarding race or whatever? Yes. But do they have to be available to speak their mind in the marketplace of ideas?
Absolutely.
Yes. But if they're stupid ideas, what's going to happen is the marketplace of ideas will shut them down and they'll feel so humiliated, they'll either change or be silent. By choice, not because of mandate or by law. So, again, folks, I've traveled the world. I've been to Africa. I've been to the Mideast. I've been to India. I've been to Nepal. And you know what? We have the greatest nation on the face of the earth because our founding fathers guaranteed the right for us to freely express ideas and to learn from one another. Now, de Tocqueville said years ago when he traveled around America in the 1830s that America was great because America was good. Now, think about that, folks. America was great because America was good. He saw in the average American person a general goodness that wanted to provide for the common defense, that wanted all of us to come together and prosper together. But what's happened over the years, I'm afraid, is no longer is America good. We're self-serving. We're looking for our own way. And if we continue down that path, we will become increasingly divided and will not be able to see one nation under God. So, Ed, I just pray for our ability to come together as a nation and celebrate those Bill of Rights, those freedoms granted us by our founding fathers, especially as we just celebrated the 4th of July.
So how do we change? How do we individually change?
I think we fight for each other's rights. I think I say to a liberal, I don't agree with you, but I want your voice to be heard. And the liberal says to me, I don't agree with you, but I want your rights and your views to be heard. And as we come together again in that free marketplace of ideas and exchange those views and struggle with one another over what is truth, we become stronger because of the struggle. And I think we become better friends as we say to one another, I don't agree with you, but I love you. I don't agree with you, but I give you the right to speak your mind as my neighbor. And as you do so, we love God and love our neighbors, and I think we become a stronger nation therein. That's my hope of what will happen.
Especially during this time when we're tested, we're quarantined, we're not out with others. We're not out with others during the 4th of July weekend.
My prayer is that we will learn how to get with others, especially as the COVID crisis becomes a little less intense, and we will dialogue respectfully with one another, respecting every person as someone created in the image of God. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. On this 4th of July weekend, yesterday having celebrated the 4th of July, I hope it was a wonderful day for you, family, fellowship, maybe some fireworks. If you were able to get some, watch some, experience some, that's a good thing, because how can you have a 4th of July without some fireworks, even though the COVID-19 crisis causes us all to have to change our behavior a bit. Hopefully things will change very, very soon back to some sense of normalcy. Ed Billick, my producer and friend, has an open mic as we're talking about the meaning of the 4th of July and something that's happened over the last couple of weeks, Ed, that's been disturbing for me, though I understand it and I want to appreciate where it's coming from, and that's the removal of monuments and statues that are offensive to people who feel like they have expressed our past slavery, our past racial discrimination issues. And again, I understand the feeling behind it, but I have a concern in that when you remove our history from our nation, the good and the bad, it gives you the opportunity to rewrite history and maybe rewrite it in a way that's not accurate. I do know enough about socialism and communism that when they take over a nation, one of the things they try to do is to tear down all of their monuments and to rewrite their history, which makes it much more favorable to believe that capitalism is wrong, that the kind of freedoms we've enjoyed are wrong and need to be replaced with a more socialistic kind of government. I have a 94-year-old father-in-law who's a World War II submarine veteran, and it's interesting, he was years ago schooled before the submarine encounter in the ways communism works, and he has brought out and reread what he was taught as a World War II soldier, and it's so much of what's going on today, one of them being destroy the monuments, destroy the past, and rewrite history. So I'm one who believes that even though there may be some offense to the monument itself, we need to realize that people are in stages of development, their growth, they're a product of the times in which they lived. And maybe there is some value in keeping the monument and saying, you know what, that person, John C. Calhoun, represented slavery and I'm opposed to it. And that's a reminder of just how evil slavery is. Again, I understand why the monument might be torn down, why it's an offense to some. But, you know, monuments are there for a reason.
And we're all human beings, so we all have stain of sin on us. Did John C. Calhoun, was that his mantra? Was that what he was known for, to promote slavery? What other things did he do that were good? Okay, because we all have those black spots. The Confederacy is a little tough one for me because, you know, being from the North and those guys lost. So, but to your point of that's our history, and we need to reflect on the good and the bad of each one of these people. The one thing I'm definitely for is getting rid of the Confederate flag.
I agree with that.
I've never quite understood that, and that has become a mantra for racism. I could tell you that.
I get that too.
Do not like black people. That becomes a mantra. You have to. So there are degrees of severity on some of these symbols that just don't fit today. But just pulling down statues and thinking that's erasing your history really makes you feel good. Does it really? Does it help poor black kids in schools? Does it help black families that are having trouble finding jobs? No, it does none of that.
Yeah, and I do want to be sensitive to those who are of a darker skin color who find that really offensive and don't want any vestige of slavery in our culture whatsoever. I really do get that. I just don't know how you can appreciate the reality of American history without some of those things being there. And also that all human beings are in process. We're all growing. Like George Washington was a slave owner. He did some hideous things. But interestingly, Jefferson I'm talking more about was a slave owner. But he also, when he was president in the Northwest Passage, passed a law that slaveries couldn't exist in that area. You really wonder if he wasn't in process, again, of understanding the dignity of all human people and changing his mind. So the removal of him altogether doesn't give fairness to maybe his own pilgrimage in learning that slavery was an evil blight upon our nation.
And who has the right to destroy a government property?
Well, that's another question. I mean, that if it was constructed and put on government property, who has the right to go on that and tear it down? That should be done by legislation. That should be done by law.
Absolutely.
That Congress gets together and says that monument that's
or
on
the
our
state legislature
federal,
or whoever.
Or whomever, right.
That
legally we make that decision and we remove those statues. If that's done in the process of civil law, then I understand it. I get it. And that's the way we operate as a nation. But again, the protesters who go and tear down and destroy property, I just keep remembering that Bible verse, you reap what you sow. If you sow in anger, you're going to reap in more anger. If you sow in hostility, you're going to reap in more hostility. Somehow, some way, we've got to understand that there's a process that allows civil disobedience to occur, protest to occur. That's an inalienable right of our Constitution, but to be done so without violence, without destruction, and let civil laws, our legislators, whom we elect, make the decisions to tear these things down and eliminate them as we feel appropriate.
Another thing you wanted to talk definitely was symbols, our American flag. This weekend we fly the American flag, parades with flags and banners with the red, white, and blue. It gets an emotional to me to see American flag. It represents so much.
Yeah, well, I do know that soldiers who have fought, like my father-in-law in World War II, that flag is special to them. It really is.
Well, when they're buried, the flag's on the casket. There's a whole ceremony to fold the flag. The flag, you know, represents and it honors those who served.
Yeah, so for people who find the flag being denigrated, it is offensive to them because they realize what that flag means. And I just want to ask people to remember in their own lives, do you have symbols that are significant to you that you wouldn't want removed? That you have like a Sean King who is coming out and saying that any symbol of Jesus or crosses or evidences of white supremacy and need to be torn down. Well, you know, in our Christian faith, Ed, for example, the cross represents the forgiveness of our sins. And you can't just tear that down and get rid of that. It's an important symbol in the Christian faith. In our taking of communion, the body and the blood of Jesus, those are symbols, those are realities of his forgiveness and love for us. So we needed to be very careful about tearing down symbols that are important to a large group of people that mean much more than the apparent symbol itself. You need to look behind what the symbol actually means and let us, again, as a people, make that decision, not let it be imposed upon us by people who are angry for whatever reason that they may have. And I also want to talk about the fact that this weekend, the celebration of our Declaration of Independence, that we also need to remember that for those of us who are religious people, that we cling to our God, we believe that it's important to do so, and we also declare a declaration of dependence, that our declaration in faith is that we depend upon this God whom we love so much. And I really do believe that there are some number of protesters who really want to eliminate religion, eliminate God altogether. And as you know, that one of the Marxist phrases was that religion is the opiate of the people. And it's a belief that religion controls people in a wrong and bad way. I've had people joke to me and say, your faith is nothing more than a crutch to you. And I say, you're absolutely right. It's a huge crutch to me. When I'm going through difficult times, I lean on God. I live life with a limp. I have my own inadequacies, failures, deformities, difficulties, and I lean on God regularly to help me take the next step and to keep moving toward Him. So I really believe that this weekend for religious people is a declaration of dependence upon God. There's a verse in the Bible, Galatians 5:1, that says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be under the yoke of and bondage of sin. And we talked about this in another show about how Ben Roethlisberger has said his addictions helped drive him to Jesus, and now he has a love for Jesus that's greater than his addictions, and he feels some freedom. That's what Galatians 5:1 is talking about. When you love Jesus more than you love the addiction or the problem that keeps besetting you, you're free. You're able to live life to the full like God wants you to live it. And I just want everyone to realize what a joy it is to have a declaration of dependence. Yes, God's a crutch. We need to lean on Him regularly. If we don't have God, where are we going to turn? We're going to turn to other people who always let us down. My daddy used to say to me regularly, son, as you are a people pleaser, and I have been in my past, he said, just remember this, people make lousy gods. He was so right. People make lousy gods. People will let you down because other people are looking for you to meet their needs. Other people will use you to get their own needs met. People make lousy gods. There's only one God who will never disappoint, and that's the one who's revealed to us through Jesus of His great love, mercy, compassion, and kindness. And as we lean on Him and we make our declaration of dependence, we can continue to move forward in life and have hope.
And with so many of us not able to gather in a church or synagogue or a place of worship, and now that's starting to open up again, your prayer life is very important right now.
Absolutely. Oh, Ed, you're so right. And I think we should this weekend, especially the Sunday after the 4th of July, take some time to depend upon our Creator, and prayer is such an important part of that. People ask me all the time, well, what is prayer? It's just simple communication and talking with God. It's simply saying to the Lord, I need you. Here are my problems. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. It's sitting down and saying, you know, Lord, this is my stuff in my life right now. I'm casting it on you. I'm giving it to you. I'm letting you carry it. You're much more able to carry it than I can. You're the sovereign Lord of the universe. And it then is walking away and saying, I'm going to live my life without worrying about this burden because God's got this. That's what I believe, Ed, with all of my heart. Let's today make a declaration of dependence amidst our Independence Weekend, for we are truly stronger when we do so. I'm David Chadwick, and we'll be right back. Oh,
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Happy 4th of July weekend. I can't say it better than that song. Can you, Ed?
Not at all.
Wow.
Mr. Lee Greenwood.
It is just the best statement regarding what we believe. And we thought we would end this part of our show just being thankful. You know, in my own life, I have learned that the more I'm thankful, the more I give thanks to God for all that I have, the less worry has a chance to occupy my mind. And, you know, Ed, I just wrote a book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety, and the whole premise of the book is you are what you think, that whatever you allow into your mind to be your thought life, that's eventually what you'll feel and then cause behavior to be what it is. I really believe that if you can control your thought life and exit out all of those negative fear-filled thoughts and replace them with positive, thankful thoughts, the better off we are. So could we all today, especially as we look back to yesterday celebrating the 4th of July, give thanks for this great nation in which we live? I know there are troubles. I know there's strife. I know there are racial divisions. We still have this pandemic that we're dealing with. But you know what? It's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And Ed, one of the questions I would ask, if America is so problematic and terrible, how come so many people want to come here?
Oh, absolutely.
So many people want to immigrate here. So many people want to live here because they're coming from nations where they have been oppressed and they don't have freedoms. They want to come to a nation where there are guaranteed freedoms. My wife and I have been in the middle of Syrian refugee camps, for example, Muslims fleeing their homes, and they're choosing to want to come here to express their faith the way they want to and know they're not going to be persecuted like they were in their former homes. Why, if America is so awful, do most people want to come here and live? With all of its problems, it's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. So could we, folks, give thanks today for this great nation in which we live? Could we give thanks for our freedoms, for the Bill of Rights that we've talked about in this show, the freedoms to assemble without anger or destruction, the ability to protest when we think something's wrong and something needs to be changed? Could we give thanks for our freedom of religion, not from religion? Religion's supposed to affect social change and laws, but religion is supposed to be expressed as people individually desire to express it. Could we give thanks today for the freedom that we have to live our lives the way we choose to want to live our lives? We live in a nation that's not imposing upon us a way that we have to live. We live in a nation that allows us to dream big dreams and to hope huge hopes and move beyond where we are in life and become something better. This nation really does allow people, through capitalism, through hard work, through human responsibility, to become all that God wants us to become and to gain wealth that we can then transfer to our children and to others.
We got to be thankful for the beauty of this nation, the rivers, the streams, the mountains, the national parks, the ability to grow our own food. For most part, our waters are still clean. You know, we got to be thankful for the land the good Lord gives us.
And maybe put on the song, God Bless America, America the Beautiful, today.
Yeah.
And listen to those those words, which is what you're talking about, from sea to shining sea. What a glorious land this
country,
is.
Gorgeous country, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have things we need still to address, Ed. You and I both recognize that. We hate the racial divide right now. We hate how the pandemic has caused us to be isolated and disconnected from one another and not being allowed to worship like we once were able to do so. We have some challenges before us, but it's still a great nation. And united we stand, and divided we fall. It's interesting, Abraham Lincoln said that in the Gettysburg Address. He knew that a nation divided against itself cannot stand. I really believe the enemy, the devil, wants to destroy our nation. The word devil means the divider. He tries to divide friendships, families, communities, nations. And when he does so, we're not as effective. It's that old illustration that Coach K at Duke University uses. He said, if you try to fight a battle with just your thumb, you're going to lose. But if you have four fingers and a thumb balled into a fist, you can win. United as a fist, we can defeat these problems. Dear friends, let's do so today, because that is our hope as a nation. So on this 4th of July weekend, I'd like to close our time together today in prayer. Ed, I'd like to ask you to join me as well, as I would all of our listeners, and to believe that prayer has power, that we're communing with the God in heaven. And when we plead to him, as that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if we will humble ourselves and get on our knees and pray, that God will heal our land. So please join me, everyone, as I pray for our nation. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of the one I know is my Savior, Jesus, but I invite all people of all faiths to pray with me now, because prayer is so important. And I pray that you would bring our nation together. I pray that you would cause the division to cease and to bring us together in our common humanity, that we might even look aside at our different religious beliefs, the different colors of our skin, our different ethnicities, our different cultural backgrounds, and come together in a common humanity and to love one another. As we do so, Lord, our nation will be stronger. We refuse to be divided. We refuse to let those differences divide us, so that our nation becomes an opportunity for violent protests to take over, for us to eliminate monuments and other things that allow us to forget our past. And we will be a people united in our common freedoms, in our common belief that this nation is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Lord, may we find a solution to that which divides us racially. May we heal our land. May we come together and love one another, because we know that is what your will is. Please, Father, allow that to happen. I also pray for economic uplifting, Lord, for those who've lost jobs, Lord, for those who are financially fragile right now. I pray you would supply their every need. You said in Philippians 4:19 that you will supply our every need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. I pray that you would do so right now for people who are in those financial places of distress. Lord, I pray for those who have broken relationships. I pray you would heal those and mend those. I pray for families that have children that are wandering, who are not walking with you. I pray they would come home and walk with you thoroughly and completely. And Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, in this election cycle, we would not let political parties divide us. We would see ourselves as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In that kind of nation, Lord, we know there will be health, wholeness, life, and blessing. Lord, on this 4th of July weekend, let us claim that America the beautiful, a nation that's beautiful from sea to shining sea, and to give thanks for all that we have here in this nation. For when we give thanks, worry flees, fear goes away, and we live in your freedom and peace. May God, you truly bless America today and forever. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.